Chapter 4 Our Ancestors Came from Space.
You are descended from a great race which destroyed itself.
Lia told me in one of our many encounters. She looked at the sky and indicated an indeterminate point in the universe.
I have told you before that, your ancestors were not born from this planet. Many years ago they inhabited a very important world situated beyond Sion, in this same galaxy. Those men had almost reached perfection. Their physical state was optimal, their emotional state tranquil with a tendency toward the spiritual, sublime. The scientists possessed a knowledge without limits and they were profoundly aware of a great part of the secrets of the universe. It was then when filled with arrogance and anxious for power they set out in pursuit of the universe. They desired to set themselves above the colonies on their frontiers. They became ambitious for triumph and glory. That is how it began. When man entered into conflicts of possession, all became more difficult, and there is where the decline began. In that epoch, which can only be measured through cycles of arc in the universe, one folk developed friction with another and your ancestors decided to intervene with all, and they possessed powerful arms that could eliminate any system no matter how great it was. Other folk came to the aid of those who found themselves disadvantaged. Thus began one of the greatest conflagrations in memory. The arms employed by them caused grave damage to the human race and the descendants of those who survived began to demonstrate important signs of mental dystrophy and emotional and physical instability. It was then, as I have said before, after conscientious analysis, their DNA had suffered important mutations. The scientists who carried out these studies comprehended the incapacity to make war without prejudicing their own folk. As you know, the deoxyribonucleic acid carries in itself an interesting register of the personality of the individual in question himself, which at birth carries fixed signs of personality. The question was whether the DNA had been seriously affected and that nobody leave the area in which there still prevailed important radioactive clouds irradiating the race, your race, which would not survive for many generations. The situation was thus when they finally solicited the help of greater civilizations. But man was dying rapidly. Our own comparisons desired not to expose themselves extensively to these radiations. Finally aid came, but when these began to evacuate the survivors, the knowledgeable, the scientists, and the great men of profound intelligence had died. Those greater civilizations carrying out the operation suggested that the human race as such would not survive very long. They would have to restrain their destructive impulses a great deal because, at a certain time in the future, this could throw back to all the negative aspects. I will explain. The explosion to which you were exposed, stimulated the degeneration of certain cells of cerebral neurons. Those men were hysterical, insane, and violence predominated in them. It was necessary to restrain these impulses. The greater civilizations made a judgment and the men of advanced civilizations determined that man had lost the privilege of knowledge and even of life, and that those same scientists had completely destroyed the great manuscripts of knowledge which had been acquired over thousands of years and preserved for the superiority of the race and the prolongation of its life. Over the passage of time, man never gained control between the good and the bad, and this was detected by the advanced civilizations. It was in this manner that this same man lost his place in the universe. All this abyss of ambition, power, etc., would remain seated in the mind at least of those same ones who would acquire the power of knowledge to overcome that which for them was hidden. Because of that, those races were injured by a limitation of mind due to the dystrophy suffered by the DNA, for which it will take years and many generations until you again, through heredity and persistence, rediscover the greater knowledge of life which paradoxically you intend to come to through the knowledge of death. Upon discovering the atom, you also discovered its destruction, thus not the origin of life. This was the sentence of man, self-destruction, being a greater tendency toward death than toward life. that was seeded in the DNA and as such will persist for the centuries, time of your world. Some descendants who preserved intact certain qualities overleaped much in between in your world, such as artists, violinists, writers, priests, and finally even the scientists. Thus it was how you again began to open a breach in the fields of science. It was as if the internal DNA remembered the glorious past with flashes of artificial light. But this will resurge when some of the ramifications less affected air resurging as an effect of heritage.
Then the race is in decline? I asked.
In effect, you have said it, Professor. There still are beings whose pure nature was not such affected by it since they had not become knowledgeable. This is what is referred to the Nordic race. The black, the red and the yellow races have another origin.
Am I perhaps descended from the Nordic race? I asked, really surprised, because my skin is not white, but more reddish.
Your ancestors were of that race which arose in Europe and later dispersed toward the parent and countries below, coming even to the United States. Well then, another important factor would be the arrival of great magnetic clouds that act as a stimulant upon the mind of man. Remember that energy can stimulate, creating fountains of light of memory, like sparks coming through the tunnel of time. For this reason, science has developed at this time. Bright minds that have descended from pure races have been receiving, by amplification of the DNA and genes, knowledge arriving from an inconceivable beyond. These same men were attracted to it by certain actual potencies, and a new cycle has been initiated. Undoubtedly, you have also inherited from your ancestors the irremediable tendency toward destruction. The human being finally, after many centuries of surviving and by titanic labors of reproduction confronted by climactic crises, has arrived at the point from which he departed.
Why did they leave or permit these races to subsist? Why did those intelligent men offer to save a decadent race?
That derives from an enormous voice of hidden origin that each one of the races or great civilizations in the universe know and must respect. Life is one of such values. The right to spring forth, to vibrate in accord with the universal notes must be respected. As there does not exist one single being identical with another in your country, we cannot as a community reject anyone only because he is not apt. We would be degrading our own civilization if we did but lend help to those who solicit it.
But if the man is condemned to destroy himself, then why live?
Many. Too many of your congenerationals ask the same, why live? Though there also are too many who say to themselves, why not? The watchword, amply promised to all the civilizations of the universe, the great objective. The challenge that is presented not only to your species but to all the species disseminated throughout the galaxies, is the survival of your own species. As such, with all your purity, you are renewed by means of one descending from another. If this had been intended for your ancestors and each one of those who lived as your ancestors had understood it, the human race would have improved notably, but that was not the case. The legacy to all the races is the knowledge. The eternal discovery, as if to live in a box of surprises among which you daily discover something fascinating. They continued to search, unfruitfully, for the chemical changes to which you were exposed in the origin of your existence to arrive again perhaps at the destruction, always believing fictitious reasons for it. A form of justification for your impetus to violence. To measure the elapse of years, Ren has been complicating his life. I have a vague idea of that which occurred to intervene in the chemical change at the organic level of the life of man. Because you understand me, I can tell you finally, that I have come to believe that man himself has inherited a monster inside of him, against which he has to struggle all his life and at the same time coexist, sleep, eat, love, if that is possible, reproduce himself, and finally die. Though this monster does not exist in space-time in the cycle of existence, death represents no barrier to it.
Will this hypothetical monster finally overcome?
It has already overcome on various occasions, and it is implanted above in many human beings. This monster produces envy, doubts, jealousy and hate. Whenever we have delivered our contribution to life, your children, engendered within a hereditary imperfection, will acquire that monster in which is accumulated all kinds of more or less negative tendencies. The race and your tremendous and titanic force to survive militates against the fears, suspicions many times unfounded of venalities of mind whose labyrinths are inexplicable, has within itself a very long-standing charge, which is to populate the world without discarding the responsibility to create a race within a perimeter of superliving such that it comes to be a model for other species, demonstrating thus the capacity of engender not only to make it, but to obtain the subsistence of the race.
Nothing more than that?
No, man in himself is more complicated than that which he apparently shows to the eyes of other civilizations. His mission for the moment will be to continue the species until the same will be aided by other greater civilizations with the objective of finding the antidote, to call it such. To salvage and restore the magnificence lost to the DNA. Because, though you may not believe it, or it seems harebrained to you, man belongs to a race in danger of extinction.
Will anyone come to save our humanity?
Yes. The greatest responsibility of the men of our greater civilizations is that some community must be imposed. And the truth is that they are confronted by the effects, already devastating, of the antithesis of life. Against it exists nothing that you could do, for which those of your folk must struggle to survive without rupturing the harmony of equilibrium. When something has already suffered permanent mutations, it is more difficult to accomplish your recuperation. Perhaps our greater civilizations can achieve this completely, after which you will see green fields and blue skies in which you not only observe the survival of one man, or of all your humanity, but its complete emancipation.